Yeah. Thanks, lady. Right. Okay. Here we go. Hello and welcome to The Current. It is time to get current as we talk Colorado Rapids and all things Colorado soccer, mostly just Rapids, because that's really what we're paying attention to right now. So I am Brendan. Hi, Brian.
Aloha.
And Marco's on the other side of the Zoom, Flippy, whenever he says something.
Howdy.
Sure. That'll work. Okay. Post
Many
game,
words.
guys. What do you think about our game last week against Charlotte?
Snooze fest.
Yeah.
I'll just say it.
Ah,
I know what Brendan, I know what you think. I think I have a little different opinion, though.
yeah. I do agree with Marco. It was a bit of a snooze fest to me. And I'm not saying that because it ended 0-0. I'm saying that because it just was a bunch of back and forth that there just it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of consistency on either side. And at times, as a Rapids fan, I felt like we were not playing as well as we should be.
How many shots on target?
Zeros.
Zero.
And that's a
All right,
problem.
that's misleading. Me,
It's misleading because Rubio hit the post
yes,
and
yes,
it
yes.
doesn't count as a shot on
Right, right.
target.
There is
And
that.
that's about as close as you can get to scoring a goal. So that is a misleading stat.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll give you guys that.
But
I yeah.
point taken, obviously. I thought the play they had very short spurts of gameplay, but even Robin said afterwards, just whether it was turning the ball over, whether it was not being enough with it, it was just kind of disjointed. Like you said, not very flowing, not they weren't connecting from one to the other. And there were some different faces in there. Second half, AC goes down. It takes out a major part of that.
Yeah, you actually said it sooner than I thought we were going to get to when it comes to talking about it. But
Only have 30 minutes.
right, this is true. Fuck you, Zoom. But you're not wrong. Losing Pricey, I feel like the biggest takeaway of that game, there was two things. One, Zardes didn't do anything for me like he normally does. And two, we lost Pricey. So neither one of those are a positive takeaway from my perspective. And losing Pricey, like we do we have did, have you heard anything? I know we're recording midweek, but kind of looked like a hammy. Is this kind of something that looks like it might be a little more for cereal than in?
Maybe I don't know. I'll maybe find out more tomorrow. Unfortunately, that doesn't help. But
Right.
get it. You could see it on his face as he was walking off at halftime. I mean, I've never seen him look that like dejected.
Yeah, just totally
He had the
meh.
ice bag wrapped on the back of that hamstring. So.
I can speak to that injury the most. It's going to take him until next year's media game to rehab that.
There's no joke. I mean, the hamstrings, I hope he didn't tear it. I haven't heard anything yet.
I
But
think,
also,
yeah.
more seriously, from personal experience, you can turn like a grade two into a grade three if you overwork it trying to get back from that injury. So
Yeah. And guys have done it
if
a lot in the past.
it's like a grade two or close to grade three off the bat, he just needs to rest it and then ease back.
That's gonna suck because dude's like newly like officially married, but he's been dating a girl for a while either.
Which,
But
granted, when I was doing mine, I didn't have like professional medical staff or physical trainer or massage therapist, acupuncture, all that that they do. So,
you had alcohol and
in CBD.
and bladium, where who
Oh,
knows
yeah. Oh,
what
dude,
speed the treadmill is going at.
I watched a dude get his Achilles ripped. I say get his Achilles ripped because he was pretty much just walking right in front of me and it ripped his Achilles while we were playing an indoor game of
Oof.
Bladium. And instead of going straight to the hospital, he went upstairs and drank beer. It was like,
sounds like Bladium.
Yeah. Like, really, dude, like I can actually see the ball in your calf right now. That's not your calf. That's your Achilles.
Another round.
Yeah.
Well, and the other problem with that is I just looked in the next month.
That's not an easy schedule.
6 games. So it's pretty full, which is going to be a drag. But like Marco said, you know, we're still early in the season. You don't rush that. Guys have tried in the past and they've redone it, you know, and it's just. So we got to look at that going forward, you know.
Especially, I was actually that important. Right. And I was just thinking, so in worst case, he's out for 2 to 3 months. Worst case is actually probably a year if he tore it. But if it's, if it's like what Marco said, where it's kind of a grade 2, possibly 3. Yeah. That's going to be
at least 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I think from being there watching him, you know, he lunged for a ball, and that's what kind of caused him the initial, you know, to sit down and call the trainer over.
Right.
Got up, came back in the game for just a minute.
Yeah, not even enough time to let Warner kind of warm up.
Yeah, and then kind of called it. But the good thing is he was walking off on his own. It wasn't like he needed help. So I'm optimistic, but yeah, it's going to be some time. It's going to be a week, really, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I got a guy on my soccer team who had the exact same thing happen to him on Sunday, and he actually felt like he'd be done for the season. The only difference is our season is about another 4 or 5 more games. So that puts us at about the same kind of situation as what we're expecting of Jack. Now, with that being said,
why are you laughing, Marco?
Do you expect...
Well, we've talked about this before, and I hate to throw out rumors and speculation, but I'm going to do it anyway. So Brian, you're up high. You don't get to see it as much as me being in the second row. But the field, field conditions I've noticed haven't been great this season.
No.
And
well, look how early we started the season, that, you know, the grass just hasn't.
That's a byproduct of KSC cheaping out on the grounds crew, which I've seen over the past. And I can say this because I used to know folks that worked on the grounds crew.
They were once really proud of the work they did.
Yeah, they've moved up in the industry and they're taking care of like Audi Field in DC because that's like a step up for them in their career. So that kind of goes back to what we talked about, is like the Rapids are like almost like a minor league feeder team for not just players, but like club-wide positions.
Personnel. Oh, we've seen it. All of us have seen it on
around the league. It's like, oh, you're going to get your feet wet in Colorado. And then if you're good at your job, you're going to move on to other teams. And then
if you can take
it
that.
It hurts the team. And we're seeing it at the basic level of just field maintenance.
I can think of 5 PR people in the last 6 years that have done that.
But when you're talking about injuries, like those hamstring, like muscle injuries, the field does play a part.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you said it. Bladium is probably the worst conditions to be playing in, period. And then you add, I mean, Dick's Sporting Goods Park was probably one of the better fields out there. But I mean, I've seen the field and the Broomfield Commons isn't much better. Or worse.
It used to be a point of pride too. That field used to win awards.
Yeah. Not so much.
And players take that into consideration too. That's why big name players hate playing on turf in the Pacific Northwest. Like you'll see DPs like, or you used to see DPs sit out because they don't want to play on turf.
True.
And a poorly maintained, just hard as rock grass field is not much better.
Well, and it's not just the playing conditions as a player that you're having to deal with for your body, but the ball itself is going to react a whole lot differently when the ground is the closest thing it can be to concrete as sand and dirt. And that's kind of what we have right now in Colorado in general. All of our fields are that way. Now, granted, with a little bit of money and a know-how, that field could be a lot better, but it's not. And I'd
be anxious to see what the condition is right now versus Chicago.
2 months. Oh, okay.
Minnesota, okay. You know, other northern teams.
We just saw Minnesota's. It looked pretty beautiful, to be honest. It looked green.
Yeah, I don't.
The ball seemed to move all right. Didn't bounce.
They're also state of the art system up there. You know, they're a year old.
Think about it. We've had enough expansion teams come into the league to the point where we're seeing brand new teams get their brand new stadium, and they're minus New York, 2 to 3 year turnaround, and their stadiums make ours look like, I hate to say it because it's like the fifth time we've said it today, but minor league. In our stadium was built to be expanded and built upon, but clearly it doesn't seem like there's going to be any thought of that happening in the future.
Well, yeah, and that's a whole nother.
Yeah, that's let's not and waste that was our another Zoom sticking on that.
Point for me against Charlotte is, okay, in fairness, it wasn't the worst result in the world. Wasn't the worst.
It was a result. Yeah.
But you're playing at home against an expansion team, and we've seen this time and time again. If you take that into consideration, I think that's a poor.
Well, if you also take into consideration how the Rapids have done against expansion teams, this was the first expansion team that we actually took points from. If you go back to the most recent expansion teams that we've played in their first year, now granted, we didn't play Miami their first year. And I want to say it might have been Nashville. But either way, every time we've played an expansion team in their first year, we've never taken points. This is the first time we have. And that's 1 point. That's really doesn't bode well as a club that looks at expansion teams. That sits there and says, oh, we want to be a perennial playoff team. We want to be just like the Nuggets and the Avs. We show up all season long but fail in the playoffs. Like, that's the Kroenke sports model.
I don't know. I mean, you see them once every 3 years, you know, and I don't know.
You're trying, B. I know.
I mean, then it just blow out like Atlanta and Kansas City, and you think, what?
Yeah. Where is this coming from? How can we be consistent? Just consistent is all we want.
I said this a few times. I mean, I think where they are right now, they're just on that knife edge, and it doesn't take much to tip them one way or the other, good or bad. And I think it's still there, unfortunately, right now. You know, Rubio hits that underside of the crossbar, and it goes another 6 inches the right way.
Yeah, yeah. Goal.
You know, it's a totally different conversation.
Right, we'd be talking about a win and not a tie, and we'd be feeling happy about a one-goal win versus a 0-0 tie.
I mean, my glass half full.
Right, yeah. No, I like it, and I agree. There were a couple looks that we had at times. I do feel like
William Arroyo was amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, honestly, I feel like if you're not, USMT has got some issues going on right now, but Zach Steffen fucked himself. So if you're not looking for another keeper to kind of maybe consider, and you don't have eyes on Yarbrough right now,
yeah,
I don't know what's wrong with you.
You'd think he'd at least get called into a camp.
Right?
Right.
But who knows? Maybe this next round of friendlies, maybe he will.
I would love to see that. I think that he, at this point, has been standing on his head long enough that it would be justified to give him a call up, because you're right. He has made some just stand on your head, phenomenal saves. Now, granted, there's been a couple times in past games, and we're not going to waste time on it, where maybe some decision-making might have hurt you there too, but
yeah.
Lately he's been on a good roll. Are there any other takeaways from this game that are worth mentioning before we talk about some other things moving forward?
My only thing, Dardis literally showed up.
He showed up
that night before. He was training with Columbus. I don't know if you guys heard this. He was training in Columbus the day. We're going to get on a plane with the team to go to their next match, got a call and said, yeah, hold up, you're going to take a different ticket. Got into Denver late the night before. Finally got a chance to be in there. So, I mean, I don't take too much out of his performance other than, you know, he got his feet wet.
There are two ways that there's a few, and that was where I was going to go to next is the acquisition and signing or the new player and everything around it. But it's obviously Jussie Zardes, and we all know that now. If you're listening to this podcast and you don't, then I don't know what you're tuning into. But to have that, there are a few guys on my soccer team on Sunday were like, why the fuck did he even show up and play? Like, why put him on the pitch? Because that sends a message to some of the other guys sitting on the bench. But then there are a couple others that are like, well, yeah, get him in there. Get his feet wet. Let him kind of just, you know, throw him to the wolves, so to speak. So there are two ways of looking at the situation.
I think it was more for the fans than more for...
It almost felt a little like, okay, given the situation, right, given the situation... It felt semi Tim Howard-ish, where it was like, yeah, get him in there. We got to play this guy as soon as possible.
May not be right for the situation, but than say like an international DP, because there's more kind of
recognition.
No, the phrase you used was like getting their feet wet.
Okay.
I think we see that more with like international guys transitioning to this league, even like native English speakers like a Kevin Doyle, like it took him a while to transition. This is different because Zardes has played in this league. He knows this league. He knows the opponents. And
yeah,
even with what Brian said, it's still a domestic flight that he, it's not like he's flying from like Argentina. Yeah.
From Columbus to here is 2.5 hours ish.
I mean, he had to go home and pack. He didn't even have to go home and tell his family, like, hey,
by the way, can you do me a favor and put the house up for sale? Actually, wait, no, wait, hold up, because if I don't get re-signed at the end of this contract, yeah, I have no team.
And that's the other thing is, like, it's a big contract. It's like, so are you going to play or are we going to baby you? Like, yeah. At some point, you're just like, all right, calling your number. Let's see what you got.
Well, we kind of have to. I mean, we're paying close to a mil-ish. I mean, there's some things that isn't fully or hasn't been fully clear as far as what the actual terms of the deal is. Yes, we paid $300,000 to Columbus and GAM. That's funny money. We ain't missing it. Knowing that we have close to $2 million in GAM, we really aren't missing it. Now, granted, we're picking up a stipend or a like prorated some of his contract, which was like what, 1.4 mil, almost little, like almost 1.5 mil, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe it's paying
a lot undetermined because
exactly how his contract was originally structured. Cause we picked up that contract pretty much.
Well, maybe he resigned. Yes.
Right.
The end of the year, if they say, you know what, it just isn't working, no harm, no foul.
Here's what I predict. I predict, like, based on, I mean, even if the dude shows up and scores like 15 goals for us this season, I still don't see us actually picking up his contract. I could see them saying, look, we'll let you go free agent. You can test the market if you want, but here's the deal we're willing to give you. A whole new brand new deal.
Right.
Which means that
probably will be,
he would have to actually be on the free market agent or, you know, list for, or free agent list for at least a few hours. But
that, or it's been discussed behind closed doors that, okay, when we resign you, this is what we'll do.
Based on your performance.
Like I was saying, the original deal, I think we are going to know it. We don't see it, but it wasn't working for the club. So both sides have had to come this way.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll see.
And it obviously wasn't working for Columbus either. So
yeah. Isn't that funny? Have you seen some of the comments from Caleb Porter and
no
since then? Like why they kind of let him go. It was I saw one, it said something to the effect of well, for that type of money, we really need a consistent, productive core, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of a backhanded.
Well, even that, those comments by Jordan Angeli on that Extra Time, like Twitter, what do they call that podcast group teams?
Oh, yeah, meeting. Yeah.
Jordan will, as you know, she'll toe the company line like as much as
she
possible.
She knows how to, yeah.
Which she tried to do. But even in her comment, she kind of alluded to he wasn't really a fit with what they were trying to do.
The culture, yeah. Even so much?
More of what they were trying to do on the field as far as him combining with with their midfield.
Sounds like he's an amazing he's super nice. Sounds like he's an amazing teammate, you know, good person. I don't know that culture will be an issue, but like you said, I think it's more personnel slotting into with everybody else.
All right.
Well, what Cello here, said made me optimistic because what he said is he's going to make Rubio better because I think that's been part of Rubio's problem this season is he's just been the guy and he's been doubled and
being
up on him. And this allows Rubio to kind of be that false nine playmaker. And then Zard is going to be the guy that stretches the back line.
Yeah, exactly. And he even said that he's like, my job's going to be to get him behind the defense, cause problems, create an option there. So, yeah, spot on.
My issue, and I'll get to this real quick because we have pretty much like 5 to 7 minutes to talk about Portland. But from all that I've ever seen of Zardes was just it felt like, and granted, this is mostly of when he's wearing stars and stripes. I felt like he was a waste of space on the field. Wasn't really doing much. Didn't really like that. We've seen wonder goals from a lot of other guys. Zardes doesn't come to mind. But looking
very
at
workmanlike, I think.
We've seen some workmen like strikers, but just for me, I really feel like sometimes there are other guys on the bench that could produce more. Looking at his numbers in MLS, though. Dude nets a goal every other game. So yep. If he can be that consistent for the Rapids, that's the striker that a lot of the fan base has been calling for. So
I mean, that's your 10, 15 goal a year guy.
Well, and we haven't had one of those in a good, you know, in a hot minute. It's definitely been a few seasons, a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be nice to see. So if he can produce that, then I will hold back and, you know, I'll stop calling him Skunk Boy. But any other thoughts before we move on to Portland real quick, before we have to wrap this up due to us being cheapo bastards and not willing to pay Zoom?
Nope.
Okay, good. Marco, anything?
I don't know. I'm still thinking about they had to drop Baji, and Baji had what he has, or he had 5 goals in 2021. He was getting close to being that 10 goal a season guy. I don't know if it's worth the contract they're throwing him. And if you look at Zarda's numbers, he's been declining. So he's going to have to turn the corner here.
Yeah.
Let's just all hope as Rapids fans that the change of scenery does him some good then. Okay. And on that note, let's talk Portland, dudes. Portland, anything? We worried? Excited? Think we got this? I mean, Portland's kind of, they're having some issues.
Yeah, but Portland's been here before. That's what concerns me. They're always that team that kind of flies under the radar this time of year, and then they just turn it up to 11, so to speak, towards the end of the season, and then they go on these deep playoff runs. So that's kind of been Portland's MO. So it's two teams that are in similar spots in the standings, but
well, in that case, it is good that we're getting them early. You're right, in the season anyway.
But I think it's very important points-wise to Western Conference teams, and one's the more veteran team. So they is probably in the back of their mind is like, we need to get points here. So
yeah.
I think it's going to – I hope it's going to be a good game because it's a very important game in the standings. Six-pointer.
It is a six-pointer. It was on the tip of my tongue. The only other thing that I'm thinking of right now is who do we see step in that role for Pricey? Do we see Mark Anthony K step back? We get a little bit more Max. Like the midfield's going to change, or we're going to see Colin Warner. Because part of me feels like if we see Colin Warner, that's coach saying we're sitting back and we're going to play defensive and try to play counterattack. But if I don't see him, then weirdly, I'm going to feel a little bit happier about however the lineup happens. And that's not anything to take away from Colin Warner. It's just, I know the type of player and midfielder he is, that I see it as a full-on defensive role. Whereas we know Pricey did more than that.
Especially this year, he's shown much more of a push forward for sure. I don't know. I'll let you know tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Put it out on the Twitters.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We know how they love that shit.
I mean, whoever's on there, I think the good thing is they've, rather than having to adjust on the fly in the second half of the game, now they've had a week to figure it out. So I think it'll be all right. I got to think Danny Wilson will be back. I mean, he was training last week. Fuck, no man. Problem.
Fingers crossed. Because weirdly, I feel like we're missing him.
Yeah, I was really surprised he wasn't on the bench at least. But we'll see. And, you know, Sardis has gotten a little more familiar with the guys around him. So,
bets on if he starts?
I don't know.
Need the goals. That's what they brought him in for.
Right? That's, I mean, I'll put a growler down. He starts.
And he almost, like we said, he almost needs it as much as the team does. He's been trending in the opposite direction. So he needs to get on the score sheet. That's what strikers need to do.
I think if he starts, he goes 60 minutes tops.
Okay. Would you rather him come off the bench or start?
It's at home.
Start. Especially against Portland. You start. You succeed if you pull them out of their shape, pull them apart a little bit.
Right, right. Right now, if anything, you could throw anything you got at them that might be a little out of the norm. And I think putting Zardes in your starting 11 is out of the norm, because even if Portland has it on tape of like how he plays, they don't know how we play with him.
Bingo.
So that's the first thing we can do to kind of throw him off. We got a little bit of time left, guys. Sorry about that. But final thoughts, and let's wrap it up with a guesstimated score.
Cautiously optimistic. Rapids win 2-1.
Okay.
Margo. I'm going to say 1-0. I hate that you use those Gary Smith, Pablo Ball references all the time, but I think we're going to see more of that with the personnel that they have, with Pricey being out, and Robin's just going to have to play like that to grind out points. So I'm going to predict 1-0. Zardes starts, nicks the early goal, and they try to wear him down in the second half.
All right. I'm kind of with you guys on that one too. I'm going to go 2-1 with Brian, and somehow I do feel like Zardes does find the back of the net. All right. On that note, guys, thank you for listening and tuning in, and you are current.